محمد المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. In the ziyarat that we have for Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, the phrase, it's amazing, and we do not find such a phrase for anyone else. It says that Ashhadu laka bit tasdeeq wat tasleem wal wafa wan nasiha. That is, I bear witness that you were totally compatible with the Imam, that is bit tasdeeq, and then you submitted, and then wal wafa. Wafa, it's loyalty. And if someone was to define what wafa is, you would say it's Abbas. That's the easiest definition without any extra words. And it's amazing that urafa, they say that if someone wants to ascend, wants to gain high ranks in this field of spirituality, the door is Abul Fazl. That is the easiest access. And you can seek whatever you want to seek, you want to get whatever ranks you want to get to, easiest access is him. So, if you look into the history again, it is as if the history repeats, like father, like son. As his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, was in the service of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, had submitted wholly and solely and totally to him, that loyalty which existed in the father, the same is with the son, and the same loyalty and the same servitude is seen by him as well. Inshallah, we will be celebrating the birthday of Abul Fazl al-Abbas on the 4th of Sha'ban, which is the most accepted date, and the riwayat also, they talk about the 4th of Sha'ban. In Sha'ban we've got 3 birthdays. In the 1st and 3rd of Sha'ban is Abu Abdullah, the 4th is Abul Fazl, and the 5th is the 4th Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. The topic that has been selected based upon the same message that we have, and that is submission and loyalty to the Imam. And because the Imam of time, we all are waiting for him, and a time will come inshallah when he will return. When he returns, what is our attitude going to be? And inshallah, when he comes, can we tolerate the Imam? So that is something we have to ask ourselves. And based upon the past, based upon the history that we have, inshallah, I'll talk on this little in this subject. A person comes to our 6th Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam and comes and says that Imam, a true person who is waiting for the Imam, do you have any instructions for him? Any teachings for him? Imam says, yes, I'll teach you this dua, and stick to it and recite it as much as you can. And then says, say, Allahumma arrifni nafsak. That is, O Allah, make yourself known to me. فَإِنَّكَ إِن لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي نَفْسَكْ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ رَسُولَكْ. That is, if I could not know you, I cannot know your prophet. And then says, Allahumma arrifni nabiyyak. Make your nabi, your prophet, known to me. فَإِنَّكَ إِن لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي نَبِيَّكْ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ حُجَّتَكْ. That is, if I could not know who your prophet is, I will never know who the argument, the hujjah, the imam is. So this is something that we have to ask Allah for, that knowledge, so that He avails and we know the realities, we know the facts. So knowledge is something that we have to ask Allah to increase in us. Rabbi zidni ilman, as we say. And again Imam says, continues and says, Allahumma arrifni hujjatak. God, make that hujjat of yours, that is the imam of yours, the argument of yours, known to me. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي حُجَّتَكَ ظَلَلْتُ عَنْ دِينِي. That if that argument, the imam of yours, was not known to me, I will be misled. So knowing the imam is very important. So how much do we know the imam? By knowing, it doesn't mean just the ID, what his name is, whose son he is. No, that is the basic that we ought to know. In addition to that, when we talk about the ma'rifat and knowing of the imam, it is how much do we know him as his activities? How much do we know him, what his performance is, what he does? These are the things that we ought to know. And now that we know his activity, his performance, that ma'rifah has been increased, we have to tone ourselves, we have to connect ourselves with him. And it is upon us that prior to his arrival, that is before Imam comes, we have to know him, we must know him. That is the events that would unfold prior to his arrival. Again, that is something that we have to know. That what is going to happen in Akhir al-Zaman, what is going to happen, the alamat, the signs before his arrival, all these are things that we are meant to know and learn. And the last of the issues, or the last of the incidents that will fold prior to the arrival of the Imam, it's the revolution, or the arrival of Sufyani and the revolution of Sufyani, which is going to be a total deviation. That is going to be the last thing which will happen, and after that the Imam is going to return. And all this is taught to us in this dua, that when Imam says that, recite this dua, Allahumma arrifni hujjatak. Everything is arrifni. Allah, make me know, make yourself known to me. Allah, make your prophet known to me. Allah, make your Imam known to me. Everything has to be known to me. Everything has to be taught to me. More or less, we know all this stuff. But how much do we accept it? That is something we have to ask ourselves. There were many who accepted the Prophet's message from far, but when they came closer to the Prophet, the situation was something else. They did not accept. They turned back. Many who congregated in Amirul Mu'mineen's house, and they said all these big slogans which they had given, that is, Anta waliyuna, Anta imamuna, Anta khalifatuna, you are our custodian, you are our imam, you are our hujjah. All these were big slogans that were given by the people in the house of Amirul Mu'mineen. But when they came closer to Amirul Mu'mineen after that, they found, no, it's tough. We can't tolerate him. We can't be with him. We can't bear to be with him. So, his personality was amazing. Amir al-Mu'mineen's personality was amazing. Imam too, when he comes, his personality, it's going to be exactly a copy of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. After all, it's all Noor and Wahid. It's all one Noor. We can't say that he was different, he is different. They are all one. Now to understand this in easier words, during the time of the second Khalifa, upon he be what he deserves from the merciful God, the debate was to who should be the successor for the Khilafah after him. Umar, he has a wasiyah, he has a will. And then he says that, O people, I introduce six people to you, six men from this nation. Who are those six men? Talha, Zubair, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Sa'd bin Abi al-Waqqas, Uthman, and Ali alayhi salam. And then says that from these six people, after me, what you do is that you take them to a house, shut them in that house. No one else apart from these six should be there. You close the door from outside, they will decide, and whatever they decide, he will be the Khalifa after me. And then what he says that, from these six people, if the votes were such that three people gave a vote to one person and three others gave a vote to another, there Abdul Rahman bin Auf, he will step forward, and I have instructed him, and whatever vote Abdul Rahman bin Auf gives, that is going to be the final vote when it is going to be a draw. So it so happens that three and three votes come up, and then Abdul Rahman bin Auf, he steps forward and he comes to Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And says that according to the wasiyya of Umar, I extend my allegiance to you. He takes Amirul Mu'mineen's hands and then he says that I wanted to extend my allegiance to you in accordance to the teachings of God, in accordance to the teachings of the Prophet, and in accordance to the teachings of the Shaykhain. Shaykhain are Abu Bakr and Umar. As soon as he said that, Amirul Mu'mineen, he pulls his hands back. And then he says that, I deny and I don't accept this allegiance of yours. And then Imam says, I act in accordance to the teachings of Allah. I act in accordance to the teachings of the Prophet and in accordance to the teachings of myself. Many objected to Ali and they said that, Imam, you should have observed taqiyya and you should have accepted that allegiance. Imam in reply says that a khilafa based upon lies and falsehood, that is going to be of no use. And says that I want to serve as a khalifa for Allah. I want to serve as a khalifa from the day one, not based upon false and taqiyya. Now, tolerating this personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen was tough. No one could tolerate him. Mu'mineen, those who were far away, who gave all those slogans when they came near, and they saw this attitude of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they stepped back. Now, these are the near associates, those who were the Shias, they were like that. That is why the personality of the Imam, it has to be known. The same thing is with the personality of the 12th Imam. Now, what is our performance going to be? Will we tolerate him or not? Our question, all this is a lesson to myself, to you brothers, just a reminding. When a word is uttered by a wali, by a mujtahid, by a waliye faqih, or for those who are in taqleed of someone, when a word is uttered by them, we have to accept. Now, do we accept or don't we accept? Again, a question that we have to ask ourselves. And if we accept, do we accept it blindly or it's a tailor-made acceptance, designer-made acceptance? What suits us, that is what is being accepted. Now, they possess a knowledge, but the knowledge which Imam possesses, Ma'asum possesses, that is vast, that is a God-given knowledge, an ilm which is huzuri, which is present for them at all times. Now, what does ilm huzuri mean? I'll shed some light on that. During the time of Prophet Dawood, ala nabiyyana wa alayhi wa alayhi salatu wa salam, a young man, needy, hungry, he was in need of food. He prays and says, Allah, send some sustenance to me. I'm just restless and tired. And it so happens that a cow comes into his house. He's happy that I prayed and Allah has sent this cow to me. He slaughters that cow and has a big meal, himself, his family and everyone. Now the owner of the cow, he finds that the cow has come into this house, and when he comes in, he finds that the cow is no more and it's all been made into kebabs and all that. He comes straight to Prophet Dawood and complains that this boy, he has stolen my cow and he's killed it. What is your judgment? Now, Prophet Dawood, the judgment which he did was based upon wahi, was revelation. It wasn't the same plaintiff and defendant, the criteria that we have today. Whatever was revealed to him, his judgment was that. Prophet Dawud says that, let him go. He says, no, I won't let him go. I want my cow. He says, forgive him. In addition to that, half of your wealth also should be given to this boy. He says, I came here with a complaint, and instead you want me to give half of my wealth to this person who has stolen my cow? He says, you have to. He doesn't accept. He's very furious. And he says, Prophet Dawud says to this person who owned the cow, he and the boy who had slaughtered that cow to come to the cemetery, to the graveyard there, and asks the boy, where is your father's grave? He says, that is the grave. Prophet Dawud comes to the grave, instructs the person, the dead, to come out, and asks him to say what has happened. And then the dead, he is brought back to life, bi-iznillah. And then he says that I was a partner with this person in business. He deceived me, he cheated me, he stole away my wealth, and I also fell wretched, and then I died. And then Prophet Dawud says, what do you say now? The wealth which you have is the wealth which belonged to that boy. So there is nothing which he has done wrong. It's his own property, it's his own wealth. So that is that ilm huzuri, which prophets possess, which imams possess, which ma'asumeen possess. When it comes... Now the judgment that is given by imam is as such. So in their judgments, they don't just see the two persons who have brought the complaint to the judge. They see the generations after to come and the generations who were before them. Keeping all that in mind, they rule out, they give a judgment. Not so. If you see these type of judgments, it's tough. So will we be able to tolerate these judgments by the imam? So in their judgments, they even see what was in the past, not in this generation, in the generations before that. The teaching is that we have to be very careful, we have to train ourselves, we have to educate ourselves so much that is when imam comes, we don't shift, we don't drift. That is why imam says that, Allahumma arrifni nafsak, Allahumma arrifni nabiyyak, Allahumma arrifni hujjatak. That knowledge has to be increased. We have to increase that knowledge. And again, when Abu Bakr was, he took the Khilafah and became the first Khalifa, Umar, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and says that, Ali, do you know why you lost and you did not become the Khalifa? Imam says, why? Umar says, the reason for that is you are blunt. That is, whatever happens, whoever asks anything, you just quickly give the answer. You don't wait. Don't be like that. If you have an answer to give, wait for a moment, have the words in your mouth, play with them, and with wisdom and politically give an answer. Don't be so blunt, don't be so quick in giving your decisions. And then Imam says, Umar replied, because Imam, you are too straightforward, that is the reason. And then he was talking and talking on this issue, all of a sudden Imam, he brings his face in front of his hand in front of Umar and says that how many were there? He says five. He says, why did you say five so quickly? Why didn't you think? Why didn't you use wisdom? Why didn't you have those words in your mouth, then play with them and politically give the answer? And then Umar says, I know that it's five, I see them. Imam says, I also see everything. So I don't know. For me, that waiting, for me to be to sit and think on that is not required. Because the knowledge which he possesses is that knowledge which is huzuri. So we have to train ourselves from now, right from now, that obedience has to be taught to us. And that starts with the obedience of a mujtahid who we follow, the taqleed of a mujtahid who we are in. The might The ability which Imam possesses, which the Prophet possesses, again, that might is no match to anything. The might which they possess, in other words, it's the might which is given to them by God, or the might of God. Might of God, we don't want to bring them equal to God, because after all, whatever has been given to them has been given to them by Allah. If He takes that back, nothing they possess. So that might, again, it's great. A person during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he comes to the Prophet and says that, Ya Rasulullah, you say that you've been appointed as a prophet and that you have brought forth a book which is Quran, and you say that this Quran is a miracle. He says, yes. Now this person, this Arab, he says that Quran is a miracle, but I am illiterate, the tribe of mine, they're all illiterate, we can't see what miracle Quran is. Can't you show us a miracle like the ancient old prophets, like Prophet Musa, Isa, Hud? They had miracles which we could see and we could understand. Now we illiterate people, it's easier for us. He says that whichever miracle you want from whichever prophet. So all that is present with the prophet. The miracles of all the prophets are with the prophet. Not just that, the miracles of all the prophets are with the imams as well. It's not as such that just a partial knowledge, a partial might, or a few of the miracles have been. Everything which everyone had, he has. Everything which everyone had, Amir al-Mu'mineen had. And all what all the prophets and all the imams had, Imam al-Asr, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, is going to possess. And this Arab says, I want to see one of those regular miracles which they saw. And then he says that, okay, what do you want? He says, can you bring a camel out from a mountain? Rasulullah says, yes, okay, let's go. They come to a mountain. Rasulullah is there. Amir al-Mu'mineen is there. Miqdad, Salman, Abu Zar, and some of the companions, Hassanain, they are children at that time. All of them are present. Amir al-Mu'mineen, his age, 23, 24 years of age. They come to the to that mountain and Rasulullah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then a camel, a red, latest design, latest model camel comes out, and then he's happy. He says, yeah, can you bring another one out? He says, okay. And then another camel also is brought out. And then he says, I want six. Rasulullah says, okay, I'll get you six. He says, no, I'll take these two, I'll ride and see how it is. And then I'll take it to my tribe, to my hometown. I'll show this to my friends, my brothers. And then we will all come back. And then I'll take the four which you owe me, the four camels. Come back and take them later. He says, okay. Comes back. And it took quite a long time, a few months for him to come back to Medina. And there this person becomes a muballigh, a propagator of deen of Rasulullah. That's here. People come and see a prophet has come over there. This is the miracle which he has. And then he comes back with a few of the people of his nation. And when they come back, they say that I want to see the prophet. He says, last week he passed away. And then he says, okay, he passed away. He must be having a successor. They say, yes, Abu Bakr is the successor. Now they come to Abu Bakr, who is the successor of the prophet, as the first Khalifa. And then he says that, okay, this was what had happened. I came to the Prophet of yours who has passed away last week. And then he owes me four camels and I want those four camels. And he brought those four camels forth from a mountain. And Abu Bakr says, if I admit, I'm going to be ashamed. If I don't admit, I'm going to be at fault. So he just gets mad and says that how is it possible for someone to bring a camel out of a mountain? He says he did, the Prophet did. These are the two camels which he brought forth and I want my four camels out. He instructs to give this Arab four camels, four regular ones, not these super deluxe. When they bring these four camels, he says, these four, I'll give you 100, I don't want these four. I want the four camels which your prophet brought forth from the mountain, like these two red ones, I want those. Luxury ones. And then, there was a heated debate over there. Salman, was present in this majlis of Abu Bakr. And it was as such that the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they were present in these hotspots. That if someone was in need, for them to guide them to Abu al-Hasan. And it was as such that whenever they were stuck and they could find no way out, they used to say that, Alayka bi Abu al-Hasan, that take him to Abu al-Hasan, that is Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Salman, he brings him to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, the person, he just says the whole thing, do you remember? He says, yes, I was there. He says that that is what had happened. He brought forth two camels. He says, yes. Now the Arab says, he owed me four more. I want those four camels. He says, okay. Amir al-Mu'mineen takes him to the same mountain, exactly the same way as Rasulullah did. Says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 1, 2, 3, 4 camels, they come out. And the age of Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time is 23 years of age. So Imam, whatever the Prophet possessed, he has. The knowledge, the might, the abilities, the miracles, everything is there. The same thing is with the 12th Imam. The same thing is with him. We have a formula in philosophy, and that says that an-nihayat turja'u ila al-bidayat. And it's simple to understand. I'll explain it in easier words. And that an-nihayat means the end tasks or the end results. Turja'u ila al-bidayat means they turn back to the original thoughts. For example, to understand this concept or this formula in easier words, you want to make a house. To build that house, initially you have an idea in your mind that I have got this piece of land and I want to make a 4-bedroom house, a kitchen, a lounge, or whatever design, a basement, whatever you want to have. You have it in your mind, and then you go to the builder, the house is built, and once it's all done, it's exactly what you had in your mind. So if you don't have it in your mind first, initially, that house also will not come into existence. So we have to have that in our mind first. So that bidayat must exist for those nihayat to come into existence. So we have to perceive the existence of the Imam first. We have to build the whole concept of Imama in our minds. We have to. If we have that concept in our minds, if we have those thoughts in our mind, if we have those teachings in our minds, exactly what Imam says, that arifni nafsak, arifni rasulak, arifni hujjatak. So those thoughts have to be in our mind. If those thoughts do not exist and Imam comes, definitely we will deny him. Definitely we will reject him because that base does not exist. For that base to exist, we have to strive now. We have to work now. We have to work hard that we don't. And if you look into the whole concept also we have, it is said that committing a sin is a sin and a person will be punished. But what if a person thinks of a sin? Now, thinking of a sin is not a sin, so a person also will not be punished. But the teaching is that sinful thoughts are also makruh. Why they are makruh? Because they contaminate the thoughts of an individual. When a person starts thinking filth, then it's easier for him to perform filth. So when we don't have those sinful thoughts, then performance of filth also will never come into existence. It's exactly the same formula that we have in philosophy. So we have to keep our minds clean so that sin does not come into existence. And that is why Rasulullah, he says that, كُنْتُ نَبِيًّا وَآدَمْ بَيْنَ الْمَاءِ وَالتِّينِ, that I was a prophet when Adam was still between that mud and clay and water. So he was a prophet way before the prophet Adam was even created. So this is bidayat. That is, we have to fix our mindset. We have to put everything right. If we have this concept of imama in our minds, then it's easier for us to have or to digest the concept of tawheed in our minds. So this is how everything works. Over there, Imam says, Arrifni nafsak, arrifni nabiyak, arrifni hujjatak. Backwards and forwards, it's both the same, and it's easier for us to get to our God through the Imams. Because they are all wisdom, they teach us, they guide us, they tell us how to talk to God, and all these are things that are taught by the Imam. When the Imam arrives, inshallah, it is not going to be like what we have today, that a variety of religions, a variety of faiths, etc. Or then it's just going to be two fronts, Tawheed and Kufr. There's no midway, there's no other religions, there are no other faiths. So either a person embraces or he steps the other way. So again, it's either the best of the best who will exist at that time, or it's the worst of the worst that will exist at that time. Zuhur also, it's the same. As it was mentioned that we have to have that mindset, we have to have those thoughts and understandings clear in our minds, then when the Imam comes, it's easier for us to embrace and to accept. Zuhur also, it's Zuhur Khas and Zuhur Aam. Zuhur Khas, it's that specific Zuhur that a person, he adapts himself to the teachings of Ma'asum so much as if Imam has arrived for him. Zuhur Aam is when the Imam, he will come and everyone will benefit from his presence. So if we perceive him today, we can tolerate him when he comes. If we don't perceive him today in our minds, we will never tolerate him when he comes. It's as simple as that. There was a dispute between a Jew and Rasulullah. This is amazing. The Jew, he comes and says to the Prophet that you owe me. Rasulullah says, for what? He says that you bought an armor from me, you did not pay. Rasulullah says, I paid the next day. He says, no. He says, I sold, you did not pay, and you owe me. And there is a heated debate between the two. Now Rasul, he is all kind, all mercy, and to whom this book of God has been revealed. And when he doesn't accept that Rasulullah has paid, Rasulullah says, okay, we will have a judge and someone will judge between us. There was a person passing by and he says that, can you judge between us? He says, yes, okay. What is that? He says, I sold an armor, he did not pay. Rasulullah says, I paid. He says, do you have a witness to the Prophet? He says, no. Do you have any proof? Rasulullah says, no. What about you? He says, he did not pay again. Now the teaching, the ruling that we have in Islam, it's that al-bayyinatu lil-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar. That is, bayyina, that someone who is the mudda'i, the plaintiff, he has to bring forth a witness. He has to bring two witnesses. Now the other one, the claimant, he has to swear an oath. That is the teaching. Al-bayyinatu lil-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar. He says, okay, you don't have a witness, now you should swear. He says, one, I'll swear 100 oaths that he did not pay me. Then he says, okay, he did not pay Rasulullah, so you have to pay. Rasulullah says, no, the judgment was not right. He says, wait. He says, okay, I'll wait here until I get my money. There, Amirul Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, he was passing by. And he says, Ya Ali. He says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He says, can you judge between us? He says, yes. Says, what is the case? The Jew, he says, I sold an armor, he did not pay. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, what do you say? He says, I paid. Then Amirul Mu'mineen takes his sword out, beheads that person. There and then, immediately. People were there, they objected, what was that? Why did you do that? He says, Rasulullah says, Ali, explain to them what was the reason. Ali says that, Ya Rasulullah, you said prayers are wajib, 2 rakat in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, we blindly accepted from you. Did we ask for a witness from you? Any proof from you? No. You taught us that in cases where this plaintiff and the claimant are there, al-bayyinatu lil-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala man ankar. We blindly accepted from you. Did we ask for a witness from you? Did we ask you to swear an oath? No. Then why do we ask for him? Rasulullah says what he did was right. So, tolerating the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen was tough for them. Tolerating the personality of the Imam also, it's going to be tough. We have to look into ourselves that when he comes, how much are we prepared? And whether or not we will drift or switch. Now, everyone during those days, it's amazing. Again, now people of great caliber like Zubair. Zubair, he's someone who was with Amir al-Mu'mineen for 30 years. Once Rasulullah says to Zubair that, Zubair, do you like Ali? He says, I love him. And I will never drift away from him, never. He's my brother. Rasulullah says, a day will come that you will stand against him. Zubair says, will I stand against Ali? That is not possible. And it was after Rasulullah. Even after Rasulullah, Zubair was one of the staunch supporters that when Amir al-Mu'mineen was taken to the mosque in that wretched way with his turban in his neck or with the rope in his neck was being dragged to the mosque, the first one who took his sword out to defend Amir al-Mu'mineen was Zubair. Someone hit him, tied him, took his sword away, and then Amir al-Mu'mineen was dragged to the mosque. And in the battle of Jamal, it so happened that Aisha, she spread this rumor that Zubair has been killed. It means that Ali has killed him. And then when Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted to have a word with Zubair, what was that word? He says that I did not want to, just wanted to have a word with you. And that is, do you remember 30 years ago Rasulullah said on such a place that you a day will come that you will stand against me? This is the day. So we have to teach ourselves, we have to understand the whole concept of imama, that ma'rifat of imam has to be increased, especially by having all these past cases, history in mind. It's easier for us. And the best way, it's by correcting our performance. Because the period that we are living in, it is a probation period as such. And probation period will be delayed so much according to riwayat that people, they are taught, they are educated, and only then will imam come. So in a sense, this delay in the return of the imam, it's due to us that the performance is bad, as a result of which he is away from us, or he is encaged, or he is imprisoned, all these terms that we can use. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us in understanding his deen. May Allah increase the ma'rifah of the imam. May he increase the ma'rifah of his prophet. May he increase his own ma'rifah in us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of the imam, of our master, our hujjah, and by Abul Fazl al-Abbas, this loyal servant of Aba Abdullah. May that loyalty be given to us for our imam. For all those who are ill and ailing, for all those who have requested for dua, all those who have passed away, we'll recite the ayah a few times. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Amma yujibu al-mudtarra idha'ahu wa yakshifu al-suhu. Amma yujibu al-mudtarra idha'ahu wa yakshifu al-suhu. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ لِأَرْوَاحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْفَاتِحَةَ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ